Shane read that text out of, explained that text out of 2 Kings chapter 6. I think it's imperative because of the inundation of media, Facebook, all the media, all the messages that we get. But sometimes the negative messages that we get clouds our vision. And what happens is we come into the house of the Lord and then we're in this spiritual fog. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And tonight, what the Lord wants to do is He wants to remove the fog so we can have the eyes of a prophet. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Because when the prophet prayed, he prayed, open his eyes that he may see. That was prophetic vision. That's what he was at. That's what he wanted the servant to see. Prophetic vision. Because prophetic vision doesn't see the fog. It may be foggy in the natural, but the prophetic vision sees through the fog. You know, where I grew up, where I was born and raised in Southern California, in the center of the state. In the wintertime, it gets so foggy you can't see the stop sign. That's how foggy it gets. Some of the largest accidents in the United States happen in that area because people will be driving down the freeway and all of a sudden hit a fog bank. But see, when you have prophetic vision, oh, come on, church. When you have prophetic vision, you have the ability to see through the fog that everybody's caught up into, and you don't have a crash landing. You don't crash. You stay on your path. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Are you ready for the Word of God tonight? Are you ready for the Word of God tonight? If you brought your Bibles, I want you to do me a favor and turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4, as we get into God's Word tonight. I'm going to share a very familiar story. Maybe to some of you probably may have not heard it. But this is a prophecy to this church again. I'm going to mention tonight the word prophet. Everybody say prophet. And when I mention tonight about the word prophet, I'm not going to be talking about the function of the prophet or the office of the prophet. I'm going to talk to you about what the prophet represented. Now, in this contents, Second Kings chapter 4, it's what the prophet represented. He represented the word and the presence. Everybody say word and presence. Everybody say this, word and presence. Now, here in verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to get right in the Word. Now listen to what it says. It says, now Elijah went up to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there. Everybody say, well-to-do woman. Well, New King James says notable woman. She was a woman of means. She had wealth. She had influence. She had ability, which she probably ate with the king. She probably ate with the commanding officer. She probably had influence in the city and influence in the government. But the thing that she wanted, because he said, who urged him, and that was Elijah, to stay for a meal so that whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. In other words, here's the thing that I want for this church. I don't want the word just here in the church. I want the word in my house.
Yes, amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because she knew that the man of God was carrying the word. And what she did, she said, I don't want to just go to the meeting and hear the word. I want the word living in my house. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite the word into my house so that the word can stay in my house. In other words, if we can come here, have nice meetings, but the word doesn't get in my house. Are you hearing me? If the word of the Lord doesn't get in my house, then it's not going to have the effect that it could have. Now listen to this. Because there's something that happens when we get the word in the house. Because now, she says, so whenever the prophet came, the word was in the house. She said to her husband, now I know this man who often comes by on our way is a holy man of God. Because this is what happens. Do you know what the fruit of having the word in your house does? What it does is it causes you to begin to recognize the presence of God. Because now she realizes, not only am I going to have the word in my house, I now have the presence in my house. Are you hearing me? Because the more I understand the word, the more I have the ability to recognize God's presence. Because if I don't understand the word, I cannot recognize the presence of God. Now listen, folks. So then she turns to her husband, and this is what I want to say prophetically to this church. She turns to her husband, and she looks at him, and she says, let us make a small room on the roof. Everybody say a room. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe you're here. You're not here to make room for your problems. You're not here to make room for your addictions. You're here to make room for God. And the reason why this church is here on this corner, are you hearing me? It's 2535 Clifty Drive. Is that correct? That's the address, right? You know what? I want to tell you something tonight. This church has built for one reason. I'm not just here to make room for people. I'm here to make room for God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because I want God's presence and God's word living in this house, old church. Which means I'm willing to have extended meetings. I'm willing to pay whatever price to make room for God. Because it's interesting, because in America, here's what we do. We make room for people, but we don't make room for the Holy Spirit. We'll make room for children. We'll make room. I'm not saying we should. We'll make programs, but we don't make room for the Holy Ghost. Let me just tell you. So, because it's interesting, she makes a room, and I'm going to break this down, and then we're going to go deeper in the story. Because she actually puts four things in the room. The first thing that she puts in the room is a bed. Everybody say a bed. Now, you have heard us say this, that my wife and I basically live in hotels 365 days a year. Now, I want to let you know something. I have never checked into a hotel room, walked in that hotel room, and there was no bed. Because if I would have walked into that hotel room and there was no bed in that hotel room, I'd have checked out of that hotel. Now, why is there a bed in the room? What is the bed in the room for? So I can rest. Uh-oh, church, you got to get this. You got to see this. The reason why she put the bed in the room is so that God would walk into the room and have a place to rest. What God wants to do right here at this place, at this address, 1235 Clifty Drive, is God wants to make this church a resting place. Because we'll make it and not only do I make it a place of rest, but why do I have a bed? I don't sleep on the floor. I sleep on the bed because the bed is comfortable. And we do this all the time. Well, we want to make the temperature comfortable for you. We want to make the room comfortable for you. We want to make the music comfortable to you. I'm sorry, but I want to tell you something, that the church doesn't revolve around. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Around your temperature gauge and around your ear gauge. We ought to say, God, I want to make it comfortable for the Holy Spirit. Because here's what I want. I want the Holy Ghost to move into the room. Oh, come on, church. She put a bed there. So when the presence of God, which that was a representation, and the Word of God can rest, can be comfortable there. Because let me ask you a question. How many went over to somebody's house and you weren't comfortable? Oh, come on. You couldn't wait to get out of there. You know what I'm saying? You could not wait to get out of that house because why? Because you were not comfortable. You didn't feel welcome there. You felt uneasy. The Holy Spirit's a person. She put a bed there. But what else did she put? Not only did she put a bed there, she put a table. Everybody say a table. Now, Pastor Shane and I had lunch today. We sat at the table. And why do we sit in the table? The table, the first one is the table. You want to preach, honey? There is a chair. I'll talk about the table first. All right. Guess where I'm sleeping tonight? Please help me, Jesus. That was a slip. But the first place, she put a table there. Now, why did she put the table? Because for us, and Rick and Lisa joined us for lunch, and Laura joined us for lunch, and we had lunch, and we were sitting at the table, but it wasn't about the food. It was about the fellowship, right? So there was a reason why she put a table in that room. Why did she put the table in there? Because here's what she wanted to do. I don't want to just fellowship with anybody. I want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want to fellowship with the Word and the presence of God. And I want to sit across, come on, church. I want to sit across the table of God's Word. And I want to fellowship with the presence of God. Are you hearing me? Because, church, I'm going to tell you something. What God's going to do in here is He's going to make this church a bakery. Amen. How many have ever walked by a bakery before? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you smell the fresh baked bread. Come on, church. And it whets your appetite. And you want to go in there and eat that bread. Guess what God's going to release in this church? He's releasing the bread of heaven. Why? Because someone set a table. He put a bed and a table and a chair, sweetheart. Now, why the chair? The chair represented government. I've been to churches where the Holy Spirit isn't sitting on the chair. But deacons are sitting on the chair. People are sitting on the chair. They're the ones running the house of God. When she put the chair in there, that was an empty chair. Because let me just tell you something about the Holy Spirit. If we're sitting in the chair that belongs to Him, He won't kick us off. He'll let us stay there. Are you hearing me? She put the chair in there. She was making a statement. You know, my house, I don't want to run my house. I don't want to run the church. I don't want to run anything. I want you to have the seat of authority in my house. Because when your presence and your Word has the seat of authority, then guess what's going to happen? I'm going to have a healthy house. I'm in trouble because I didn't put my timer on. I just did it now. I wasn't planning on going there, but I'm going there. Because the Bible says there is a fivefold ministry. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And it doesn't say for the controlling of the saints.
Yeah, that's
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say for the micromanaging of God's people. It doesn't say that. Come on, it does not say that. It says for the equipping. And what that word equipping means is actually empowering you. Now, church, you've got to understand this. Isn't it interesting? Because, see, God's primary desire for his church is two things. His primary desire for the church is two different things. It's health and maturity. Everybody say health and maturity. And when I talk to you about health, I'm talking about emotional health, physical health, and your spiritual health. Because if a church is not healthy, or the body is not healthy, then that body cannot function properly, right? Now, I know a little bit about exercise because I was, a few years ago we were involved in endurance training. I don't do it as much. I still run, but I don't do nearly the training that we used to do. But I found out as I've gotten older that you know what, you can train all you want, but if you don't eat right, come on, church. I mean, you can run mile after mile or ride your bike or go swimming or lift weights, but if you don't eat right, then you'll undo all your physical training. Come on, church. Because I found out now in my 50s, you know, because in just in my 40s, I'd run 7 miles and lose 5 pounds. In my 50s, I run 7 miles and gain 5 pounds. What's up with that? Because it has to do with diet. Now, church, if I was to go to a nutritionist, you know what they would tell me? They would tell me that for me to eat a balanced diet, and what they would tell me is they would tell me that I needed 5 food groups. 5 food groups. 5 food groups. I need fruits and vegetables. I need dairy, I need grain, and I need protein. And by eating those 5 food groups, my physical body would operate at its optimum level. Come on, church. Oh, church, you got to see this. This is why much of the church is unhealthy. There's a 5-fold ministry. Come on, church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And without it, the church can't be fully healthy as it can. So listen, because hold up your hand right now. Hold up your hand right now. You have, most of you have 5 fingers. Most of you. Now, can you imagine if all of a sudden you lost some of your fingers? You put your hand down. Let's say you lost 3 of them. Right? Or 2 of them, or 1 of them. You know what would happen to your hand? Your hand would not be able to function the way that it was designed to. So you could have, at one time, you could have 5 fingers, and if you lost a bunch of your fingers, can you imagine trying to drive your car with your pinky? It would be very difficult. Of course, you may adapt, but it would be very difficult to do that because you've lost some of your fingers because your hand can no longer do what it was made to do. Church, let me just say this. I'm gonna lay this out. I don't mean to offend you at any way, but much of the church in America does not recognize the 5-fold ministry. And it creates an atmosphere of unhealth. Of unhealthiness, because the people aren't fully getting the right diet. Come on, church, and fully equipped. Because it's a torture that here's the thing. There are many denominations and movements that deny the existence of apostles and prophets. Are you hearing me? They've done away with those because they teach. And it's not biblical. Because I am not going to attack a person, but I am going to attack the doctrine. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't want to attack people, but when there's heretical doctrine, because here's what happens. You mean to tell me God cut two off and then kept three? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the denomination that I'm a part of, now I just want to tell you this. The denomination that I'm a part of, they don't believe in the apostle prophet. Okay, I still love you. I'm going to still honor you. But I was sitting with a guy who's the national director of all their evangelists. I'm sitting having coffee with him. And we're across the table, and he tells me, Brother Harkey, back in the 80s, there were 8,000 evangelists. Not all of them were full-time on our list. In 2014, this was October 14, in 2014, there are now 800. And out of those 800, there's only 150. Now, church, that means that the office of an evangelist is dying as well. Church, we cannot let that happen. There is going to be an influx of younger people coming in this church. Come on. That God wants to raise up a church that is operating under the fivefold ministry. Oh, come on, church. Because otherwise, guess what's going to happen? Then what happens is an ism, a denominationalism, things that are not biblical begin to sit on the chair.
Yeah. Come on.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? And they begin to rule as they see fit, oh, church.
Yeah.
I mean, God brought this home to me. This is burning in my spirit. I've got to do something about this. I can't just let this happen. I can't just let it happen and say, oh, but we're living in 2015. This is a new day. This is a new age. You mean because we're living in a new day or a new age that we got to dismiss the Word of God?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not living like that. I'm not living like that. And with proper teaching and understanding, health can happen in the body. So that means this. Not only is God concerned about my health spiritually and the health of the body, yours and mine, the second thing that I think he's primarily concerned about is maturity.
Yes, come on.
Everybody say maturity. Now, I'm going to tell you this. In my limited experience, but in my 30 years of serving God, I think the primary reason for church problems in the family of God is not because people are necessarily evil. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not that they're bad. Come on. Not that they're bad people. But the primary problem has to do with maturity. They're not mature. Look, oh, you're hearing me. They're not mature. So I wasn't planning on going there, but I need to go there. I need to go there. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We may not get to the Shunammite. I'm sorry. You'll forgive me. But the Holy Spirit is laying on this on me right now. Ephesians chapter 4. We're gonna look at verse 14 in just a moment because I just want to say a little bit more. It says, so, and I want to turn to the New King James because I like the way it's translated. And this is what it says. It says, and he himself gave. Everybody say, he himself gave. You can turn to 4:11. He himself gave. That word gave is the same word that's used in John 3:16. Where God gave. Now, church, think about this. Can you imagine God giving us something and say, I don't need it?
Yeah.
Are you hearing what? How do you think God feels about that? I don't want that gift. I don't want that gift in me because we can't find a biblical paradigm. We don't understand that. So let's just get rid of it. Now, in defense, there is a doctrine around the United States. It's influenced millions of believers. It's called cessationism. And the cessationist doctrine, this is what they believe, They believe that when the last apostle died, that, and there are no New Testament prophets, they're the prophets, and there's, and what they believe, and they are correct in saying this, that there is no new revelation. You know what? They are correct in that. In other words, there's no more Bible being written. Are you hearing what? They are correct in that. But see, you've got to understand that New Testament prophets in the book of Acts didn't come to the church to bring some new revelation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some new doctrine, some new church. They didn't come to do that. You know what they came to do? To build up the church, to strengthen the church, to empower the church, to encourage the church, to comfort the church. Oh, come on, church. That's what, and all the ministry gifts designed in that realm. So by rejecting that, what it creates, it creates an atmosphere for immaturity to flourish. Because we don't have a steady diet. See, if all I eat is meat, are you hearing me? My body eventually will realize, hey, I need some other stuff. Are you hearing what? I need my fruits. I need my vegetables. I need my dairies. I need my grains. Are you hearing me? But if all I'm eating is one-sided, church, there's no way that my body can be healthy or fully grow or develop the way it should be. Now, church, then Paul says this in Ephesians 4:14, which I want to go right now. He says these words because he's the ultimate father. Listen to what he says. That we should no longer be like children. Everybody say, no longer. Be like children. Let me ask today, how many people have grandchildren? You know, I have 5 grandchildren. And I got to see Meliana. I got to see Rick and Lisa's little grandson shoot baskets. And when your grandson is shooting baskets, let me tell you, he's better than Michael Jordan. He's better than LeBron James. He is the next greatest thing. Oh, come on. I know that. You know, I know that. He's the best. Are you hearing what? Yeah, that's mine. Come on, church. And I'm sure because I started it last night by showing my grandson to them. So, of course, I knew I was going to get it back. Because we would argue, my grandson is better looking than your grandson. I mean, we're like that. We just have this, they're just this part, you know. We love our grandchildren, all 5 of them. And over this past month, especially last month, because I was in Bowling Green during the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for 5-6 consecutive weeks, you know, I got a lot of time to spend with my son's three. And I have my grandkids. My son has 3 children. And his youngest, who's almost 3, his name is Ezekiel John Gabriel Harkey. In other words, no pressure, buddy. You don't even have a chance to backslide with a name like that. You're not going to even get touch sin. No, you're not going to even touch nothing unclean. You're going to grow up and be a great prophet, the next prophet. Maybe one of the witnesses. Come on, you know what I'm saying? One of the 2 witnesses. Destiny is written all over you. Now, church, I will tell you this. So when we're there in Bowling Green, the 3 of them come and stay at the hotel with us. Grandchildren upset my devotional time. And there were some days that Meliana and my daughter-in-law, Maddie, would leave me by myself with the 3 kids. because they'd say, we're going shopping. Now I want to say something to you, grandparents. I got a dose of what Paul meant when he says, no longer be like children. Because now I'm in the middle of three kids, a six-year-old, a four-year-old, and a two-year-old. He's almost three. And I can tell you this right now. There every day was some kind of drama. Oh, come on, I'm telling you. One particular day, they leave me by themselves, but my grandson likes grapes, so grandma's going to go to the store, going to give him a whole bunch of grapes. So she puts it in a bowl, puts it in the icebox. We're staying in this suite at the Holiday Inn in Bowling Green. And he comes up to me. The three of them are playing. He comes up to me and says, Grandpa, I want some grapes. I said, sure, son. So I get the grapes, and he's got his bowl, and he's eating them, and there's a lot of grapes. Then his sister comes over to me, Noelani, who's four, and says, Grandpa, Ezekiel won't share his grapes. Because you know why? I know something about children. This is my ministry. This is my platform. This is my guitar. This is my drums. I'm the usher. I'm the person in charge over here. Come on. You can't have this. So I call Ezekiel over. I say, Ezekiel, I'm sitting on the couch. Ezekiel, can you do me a favor? This is what I want you to do. I want you to share your grapes with your sister. So I'm thinking, he's going to obey, Grandpa. You know what I'm saying? And what he does, he looks at me, he looks at the grapes, he looks at his sister, and stuffs all the grapes in his mouth. And I realized something. Who taught him that? Who taught him that? Where did he get that? Where did he get that attitude? Where did he get that way? I hope he didn't get it from me. Come on. Church, you got to understand something. You know when Pastor Shane read this article about the thing that they're doing in the high schools and offering, you got to understand, these people don't believe that people have a sin nature. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They don't believe that we are actually born in sin and we have a sin nature. Nobody has to teach me to sin. Then you got to understand that modern psychology, even many Christian psychologists, don't believe that we have a sin nature. Come on, are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And the way, let me just tell you something. This is why I love the apostolic ministry. This is why I love the fivefold ministry. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Because I know myself, I have a sin nature. I want to take what's mine. I don't want to share it. I want to grab a hold of it. But when I'm in a place where that ministry is healthy, guess what I realize? They're not my grapes. This is not my ministry. This is even, church, this is not my platform. Are you hearing me? This is not my church. Come on. I don't take ownership of it. And if God wants me to share he said, oh, I'm giving to that. And he says, I want you to give it away. Guess what? I have to give it away. But see, we children, they don't want to grab. They want to grab. Can I tell you something? His mouth was so full, he couldn't even chew. Cheeks puffed out. You know what I'm saying? Determined not to share with his sister, and now his sister's crying. And I'm thinking, Meliana, why did you leave me by myself with the kids? So I looked at Ezekiel. I looked at Ezekiel and I said, Ezekiel, I got the bowl. I said, Ezekiel, spit the grapes out right now or Grandpa is going to whip you, boy. He looks at me, and he knew I meant business. I held the bowl out. He spits all the grapes untouched. I wash them off and give them to his sister. See, that's what grandpas do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? End of drama. Now, over there in Bowling Green, at the Holiday Inn, they got a glass elevator with a big atrium. They thought that was a ride. They thought they were going to an amusement park. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so when I opened the door, the three of them making a beeline to see which one is going to press the button first. Now, church, I am so glad I'm in shape. And we rode that elevator up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And one day, you know, I say, okay, they're gone. I'm taking you guys to Shake and Shake to get a milkshake. But then I got wise. Milkshake and naps don't work very well. Well, anyway, we're in the elevator. And my grandson, as soon as that door opens, he makes a beeline for the elevator. One day he beat me. Got in the elevator before I got there. Up and down, I jumped down the stairs and got him. Ran down the stairs. So I made sure I hold on to him. So one day, we're in the elevator, and you know, at the hotel, they have a glass sliding door that's sensored. When you come close to it, it automatically opens up. They then have a little small room, which they put the carts for your luggage. It's a small room. And then there's another double door that leads out to the street where you park and unload, where people are going by. So one day, we're ready. I got the kids ready. They're in the elevator. And my grandson, this is it. This is, as soon as that elevator opens to the lobby, he makes a beeline for the door. Full on sprint. Now, church, let me just tell you something about children. Children aren't aware of what's out there. You know what I mean? They have no clue what's out there. And they could be running, and sometimes we know what children don't realize that the enemy will open up anything to them. Oh, come on, church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I see my grandson full on sprint, running to the door. The first door opens, right? Because the elevator's closed to the door. And then I run after him. And all of a sudden, the second door opens. And here comes a car driving by, and I grab him. Church, let me just tell you why we need the fivefold ministry back in the church. Because there's many in the body of Christ are running to and fro. We're running here and there. They're running here. They don't realize the enemy is there to wipe them out, to grip them, to hurt them, to harm them. And if we're not under the proper structure, what can happen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What can happen is all of a sudden people begin to have a spiritual collapse. They get hurt. They get hurt spiritually, emotionally, and physically. They back away from church because they weren't under a proper church structure. I'm telling you, church. I see it happen all the time. Because when you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, guess what? You have a steady diet. You understand. I ain't running out there. Now, church, you know what was my job? My job was to protect him. And see, when you love people, you'll see them as children. Even in their immaturity, you say, I've got to protect them. I've got to protect them. I've got to do what I can. Now, church, I want to tell you something else about Ezekiel. So I realized it was safer ordering room service. A lot safer. They bring the food up. I can monitor that. They can look in the kids' menu, and kids eat for free at the Holiday Inn. So, you know, and I'll just pay the tip, and they'll have dinner because the suites has a little dining room in there. So I set the three of them. They ordered, and so they brought their food up right in there, right at the room. They're sitting on the table. I'm thinking, okay, now I can study. So I'm sitting there on the couch studying, and all of a sudden, I hear a commotion. There's a commotion going on. And then Noelani, the four-year-old, takes making a beeline for the master bedroom, running, and she's crying. Meanwhile, here comes Ezekiel chasing his sister with a fork. Oh, children, no longer be like children. Church, what do I mean? Sometimes we may not actually do that, but sometimes in the body of Christ, we chase our brothers and sisters. And we don't realize that what we're doing, because, you know, see, my grandson, he's 2 years old. He has no idea the damage that the fork could cause. Are you hearing me? He has no idea. He doesn't know that this fork could cause her serious injury. It could poke her eye out. It could do some permanent damage because of the fork that he's carrying. Are you hearing what I mean? He has no clue. Now, church, as a father, I am not going to let that happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? I'm not going to let anybody in the church stab somebody else with their words. Oh, come on, church. Because I understand it's about the health of the church. And if the church is stabbing one another with their words, it can never become what God wants it to be. Oh, Jesus. And I've seen it over the years that you know what? That we are not bringing a prophecy to church. We bring a fork. Children. Now, I didn't just sit there and with the iPad and let them play. I want to let you know something. Ezekiel will never, ever chase his sister again with a fork. Because he got the message that was wrong. I don't believe in timeout. I believe in the paddle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I tell you once, if you don't do it, guess what's going to happen? Here comes the paddle. We got the belt out because that behavior was not going to be allowed in my presence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, church, I've got a million stories, but I don't want to bore you too much, but I want to tell you something. Listen to what the apostle says. You no longer should you be children. What does it say? Tossed to and fro. Everybody say tossed to and fro. Now, what does that mean? That means here and there. That means in and out. That means up and down. How many know people in and out? They're in and out of church. They're up 1 minute, they're down the next. They're happy and they're sad, depending on what life has brought them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know why? Because there's something sitting on their chair. There's something sitting on their chair. God's not sitting on the chair. Come on, church. And because he's not sitting on the chair, what happens is life is ruling them and life is tempting them to tell them what to do. Are you hearing me? Because they're children. Now listen, folks. I want to say this to you. Nobody in this room needs to be tossed to and fro by life. Are you hearing me? And I can tell you why I believe in prophecy, why I believe in the apostolic, why I believe in fivefold of ministry, because guess what happens? When I hear a word from God, it keeps me steady. It keeps me from being tossed to and fro by life. Come on, church. And it quiets my heart and quiets my spirit and allows me to begin to live a life of stability where I'm not tossed to and fro. Now, church, I can tell you this. What did the apostle say? He says, tossed to and fro by every wind of what? Wind of what, church? Church, the storm that's coming to America isn't terrorism. It isn't atheism. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It isn't Islam. It's doctrine. It's doctrine. For instance, like this. Because what let me just tell you this. Church, do you realize that Eve and Adam walked by the tree? There are two trees in the garden every day. Come on, church. God says, don't eat of that tree, right? They walked by it every single day, right? So guess what? They did not stumble because of the tree or because of the fruit. They saw it every day. They were never tempted. They were never even think about it. God says, don't eat that tree. Come on. They didn't even think about touching that. Come on, church. But how did the enemy get Eve to eat? Oh, come on, church. Yeah. It wasn't. They saw how beautiful the fruit was. They saw how appealing the fruit was. And they never even paid attention because God said, don't eat it, right? So how did the enemy get Adam to eat the fruit? It wasn't because he held the fruit up and said, eat. You know what he did? He introduced doctrine. He introduced a doctrine. He twisted a doctrine. He twisted something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And this is how he twisted it. He said, did God say? Oh, come on, church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, if you don't have a prophetic word, when someone says, did God say, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be tossed to and fro. What do I do? Do I go here? Do I go there? What do I do? And normally, everybody in this room will submit to whatever you're closest to.
Yeah, that's it. That's good.
And if I'm closest to the false doctrine, I'll submit to that instead of submitting to the truth that I heard. Oh, church, this nation is in terrible straits because doctrines of demons are being introduced. It's not, I expect it to come from the atheist. I don't expect anything less than that. But when the church doesn't stand up and say, hey, thus saith the Lord. Come on, church. When the church doesn't say behind the pulpit, oh, by the way, homosexuality is a sin. It is a sin. You can't do this. Man married a man. Woman married. That is not in the Bible. You're in deception. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Living together is in deception. When that stuff begins to happen, this is exactly what the church has to do. We have to take a stand. This is why our culture is being tossed to and fro. Because, church, if we don't know our doctrine, the devil will introduce to this culture, oh, God is love. Yes, God is love. But he's also a just God. He's also a just God. Church, keep your finger on Ephesians 4:14. Turn to Revelation 10:10. I want you to see this. Revelation 10:10. I want you to see this. Obviously, we're not going to get to the Shunammite woman tonight. John is writing this. The apostle of love is writing this. All right? The apostle of love is writing Revelation. The one that God loved, I spoke of the other night. And listen to what he says. He says, then I took the little book. Everybody say the little book. Can I borrow your book? Because I got an iPad. This is the little book that John took out of the angel's hand, the Word of God. Are you hearing me? The Bible. He took the book out of, this is what he took. He took the Word of God. Now, church, when he took the Word of God, guess what he did? He didn't just read it. He ate it. Everybody say, ate it. A lot of people read it, but they don't eat it. Jesus said in John 5:39, you search the scriptures. Oh, come on, church. In other words, you read the scriptures over and over and over and over again. You read through your Bible in a year. Oh, come on, church. Right? Thinking that you'll find eternal life. Church, listen to me. I want you to read your Bible. But many people read the Bible but don't eat it. Come on, church. And because they don't eat it, they don't benefit from what they're reading. Now, church, I'm going to tell you what John Harkey does. Well, at the beginning of the year, this is what the Holy Spirit does. Every year, he gives me a book. The beginning of this year, he gave me the book of John. I don't read the Bible in a year because I've seen so many believers. Now, I have read through the Bible, but I've seen so many believers, they'll read their 10 chapters, check it off. I've done that, but never eat the Word. So then they don't benefit from it. So this is what I do. I will take a book. In 2014, it was Ephesians. And this year, it is the book of John. I will read the book of John in every translation I can get my hands on. I will pray over every verse. I will read 5 commentaries. You know why? Because I want to eat the Word and get the most out of the Word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now notice what John says. He says, I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And notice what he said. And it was as sweet as honey to my mouth. Everybody say sweet. You know that the love of God is sweet. The mercy of God is sweet. The grace of God is sweet. The when God heals, the healing is sweet. The promises of God are sweet. But notice what he did. He ate. And it tastes sweet. But notice the second thing. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. Everybody say bitter. So what happens? He eats it, and the initial taste is sweet. But then when he begins to assimilate it into his stomach, it becomes bitter. Everybody say sweet. Everybody say bitter. Now, church, what do I mean by that? Church, let me just tell you. Many in America are only preaching the sweetness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They come up and say, God's love, this and this and this and this. And you know what? It gives the church a diet of candy. It doesn't give the whole counsel of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because how many know that the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the fear of God, that's bitter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if I'm going to be healthy, I have to eat both. Come on, church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And at the same time, if I want a healthy Christian life and a healthy church, I have to eat both. Because if all I get up here and preach on the love of God, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn the entire congregation into liberals. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Their theology is going to turn liberal. We'll just let anything go. We'll let anything happen. We'll do anything. And what will happen is, you know what? That we'll have wrong doctrine. We'll know about the love of God, but we won't know the full character of God. Now listen, church, because I'm only preaching one side of the gospel. Now, church, listen to the other extreme. The other paradigm is, if all I do is preach on the bitterness of God, the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the hatred of God, I'll turn everybody in the church into legalists. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then we're bound up in legalism. Come on, church. Are you hearing me? And we're just as bad as the liberalists. Come on, church. It's still bondage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It says disguised as righteousness. Oh, come on, church. But church, what John was saying is that, guess what? I eat the entire Word of God. And when I eat the entire Word of God, guess what? I get the full diet. Because Paul said, forbid me that I did not preach the entire counsel of God. Now, church, there is no way that one ministry can give me the entire counsel. There is no way, because some people can get off in the prophetic stream, and that's all they think about, prophecy, 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 prophets, prophets, prophets. Everything, everybody's a prophet. Everybody prophesies. We're a prophet's church. Everybody in the church is a prophet. Well, if everybody in the church is a prophet, who's going to do the evangelism? Who's going to do the pastoring? Who's going to do the? Who's going to have the governance? Who's going to have? Who's going to do? Who's going to do the teaching? If everybody's out there prophesying, come on, church. Come on. And see, I'm saying this because God wants this church to be different, to be a New Testament model. Come on, church, of what true Christianity looks like. And be a model in this community you go there, those people are healthy. You go there, those people are mature. You go there, there's the full spectrum of God's word in the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we need the fear of God back in the church. We do need the love of God back in the church as well. But listen, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the cunningness and the craftiness of men. Trickery. Who in this room likes being tricked? Some of you in this room have been tricked. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You've been tricked. But see, God says, those days are over. I'm putting you in a church where the fivefold ministry is going to exist, where there's no way you can get tricked because you're having a balanced diet. You won't get over. Because listen, church, I love this prayer, Meliana. I couldn't get out of my mind today. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. I'm going to highlight 21, but I got to start at 20. Because I want to tell you this. If we are not fully equipped, we cannot do God's will. Most of you in this room want to do God's will, or you wouldn't be here tonight. But notice this. I want you to write this down. A real spiritual father desires to empower you so that you can do what pleases God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A real spiritual father, see, church, if I don't come here and come here to empower you to do what pleases God, then I haven't done my job. I have not done my job. If you don't leave these 5 days not being powered by God, I have not done my job. A real father desires you to empower you to do what pleases God. A father isn't someone that demands submission. He's someone that earns it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A real spiritual father doesn't demand submission. He earns it because that son and that daughter knows that that father loves him. Amen. Oh, church, are you hearing what I'm saying? Church, let me just tell you something. And I'll do my best to get my spiritual father. I've asked Pastor Shane if I could approach Dr. Morocco. Dr. Morocco is my spiritual father. I was saved under his ministry when I was 22. That was 30 years ago. He is a father. There is no way you walk in the anointing. He is a father. And church, by the end of this year, the ministry will have 20,000 members and 120 church plants. They're approaching that goal. Their goal was by the end of 2015, they will reach it. Now, the mother church is probably 4,000 or 5,000 in Maui. They have churches all over the world. They have churches all over the 48 states and various states. Not all the states, but a number of churches all over the country. I am fortunate to be a part of that network. In fact, if I just wanted to preach in his extensions, I could preach in his extensions and nowhere else. Now, church. Over 20 years ago, revival broke out in our church in 95. That was 20 years ago. It was an amazing move of God. God had sent an evangelist into the church, and the church was, and people, thousands, were healed and touched. And after that evangelist was only there a week, and after that evangelist left, Pastor Morocco decided to have extended meetings throughout the week. But he didn't just have it at the mother church. He had it at various locations around the island, because in the islands of Hawaii, driving 15 minutes is a long distance because it's a small island. And so back then, my wife and I, two small children, we were so hungry for God, we'd go to every meeting because we just wanted to be in the presence of God. Our children were small. I worked a job. I had to get up early. But, man, she'd have dinner ready. I'd get take a shower, eat dinner ready. We'd run to church. Come on. And he had a meeting close by our house on Saturday night. The building was maybe it held 150. So it was a small crowd, but it was packed. Because revival had broken out in our church and people flocked into it. And so we would go to these Saturday night meetings. And even when he spoke the same message the next day, we didn't want to miss anything. So one night, I'm there. And I can tell you this. John Harkey has toned down quite a bit. I used to be excited on steroids. And without steroids, come on, church. I mean, every service I'm running, I'm doing cartwheels. I can't wait for worship to start. Can't wait for the word. Can't wait for the presence, the altar time. Oh, I loved it all. And so, because we were in a smaller place, I didn't want to go up front and jump and leap and shout. Because I did not want to draw attention to myself. Because in a small church, when you see somebody doing something and making noise, it draws attention. So what I did is I went in the back of the church. And worship starts and I'm leaping, I'm dancing, I'm doing cartwheels. I'm doing what I normally do. I'm just excited about the Lord. And all of a sudden, Pastor Morocco's in the front row. And I see him looking back at me. And he keeps looking back at me. And then all of a sudden, I'm leaping, I'm dead. And all of a sudden, I see him walk back in the back. And he whispers in my ear, and this is what he tells me. John, stop drawing attention to yourself. Stop drawing attention to yourself and draw attention to God. Now, wait a minute. This is what through my pastor. That's why I'm in the back of the church. Now, church, I want to tell you something. When that happened, guess what happened to my praise? I'm no longer jumping. It just cut that, diffused it right now. Because here's what's going through my mind. Because most people I know, because most people come to church, it's about their right. I'm right, you're wrong. And if you say something when I'm right and you're wrong, I'm not going to receive it from you. Oh, church, hear me. Hear me what I'm going to tell you. Because if you come to church for your right, you're in the wrong place. Because if we come to church with the attitude, I'm right, you're wrong, and when you violate my right, I'm going to get offended at you. Now, church, can I tell you something? I understood something. It's not about who's right and wrong. It's about my heart. How am I going to respond when I know that I'm not drawing attention to myself? Especially when my senior pastor comes back, because here's what I'm thinking in my mind. I mean, it's God protecting my mind. What is in me that would make my pastor go from the front of the church to the back of the church and tell me that? Church, let me just tell you, I was hurt. And you know what I could have done over 20 years ago? I could have grabbed my wife because my wife knew why I was in the back of the church. I could have grabbed my kids out of the children's church. And you know what I could have done? I could have walked out of the parking lot. But you know what I would have done? I would have forsaken my destiny. Oh, come on, church. I'm telling you, I'm not giving somebody that much power and that much control over my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And besides whether I thought Pastor was wrong or not, he was still right. Because we shouldn't draw attention to ourselves. We should always draw attention to God. Whether the timing was right or wrong, it wasn't the issue. My issue was he was coming back there as a father. Because this is what I thought. I must have a blind spot. Because here's what happens. When we think we're right, nobody can tell us we have blind spots. That's what children do. You don't tell me what to do. Tell me, who do you think you are telling me how to raise my kids? Tell me how to do this. Tell me how to do this. I'm your father. I love you. I want your health. I want your growth. I want your success. I want your maturity. Now, church, so when he told me that, I wasn't leaping. I wasn't shouting. I wasn't doing any more somersaults. I'm now standing with my back against the wall. But you know what that meant? That meant when he got up to preach, I wasn't supposed to give him dirty looks. That means I was to support him when he said amen, when he said raise your hands, when he said clap. I needed to do that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because it was a test of maturity. And church, if we don't get, see, this is why people are still in the same place spiritually. They never learn to pass the test. And they remain children. And they remain immature. And they get tossed to and fro by life and by doctrine. So the preaching goes on. I'm up there. I'm in the back. I'm amening him. I'm behind him 100%. Okay. So I'm over it. Okay. I'm over it. I forgave him. Because let me just tell you, if you want your right, you'll hold yourself captive. So, church ends. I get my kids out of the children's church. I get my wife. We're going to the car. We're on our way home. So, as I'm going to the car, I turn around and Pastor Morocco is following me to the car. Okay, I said, okay. So, I turn around. He comes up to me. He puts his hand on my shoulder, and he says, oh, by the way, John, the Holy Spirit told me to correct you. Now, church, I already had been over it, okay? So now he tells me the Holy Ghost told him. So right now I'm crying. I'm saying, oh, God, what is in me that is so bad that I would do that? I'm crushed. So I get in my car, get the kids in the car, my wife in the car. I get in the car. He walks off. He goes to the door because we're parked right by the door. And all of a sudden, he turns around and walks toward me again, toward the car. I'm thinking, oh, God, now what? Now what? I roll down the window. And when I roll down the window, he reaches his hand in and puts his hand on my shoulder and said, John, I was praying for you this morning, and God spoke to me. And told me to tell you to get your license to get into full-time ministry. Now, church, he did not know that I had been on a 21-day fast. Fasting, if God wanted me to get my contractor's license or my minister's license. And when he put his hand on my shoulder, Shane, it was like an anointing hit my life. And I thought about what would have happened if I would have got offended and acted like a child. Come on, church. When I got corrected, I would have missed that confirmation. And the church, I'm going to tell you tonight, if I had a walk out, I would not be standing here tonight. And because of what he said to me that night over 20 years ago, when he stuck his hand after correcting me, come on, church. And what he did is he confirmed something in my life that I already knew. And that is why I'm standing traveling all over the country. Because, why? Because you know what? There's tests that I have failed, but I'm so thankful that I passed that test. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because otherwise, my kids would have been tossed to and fro. My marriage would have got tossed to and fro. I would have stayed in the realm of immaturity. I would not have grown or matured. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'd have never fulfilled my assignment because I allowed one incident to control the rest of my life. Church, are you hearing what I'm saying? God has destined this church for health and maturity, for growth numerically and growth in our spirit. Come on. Because listen, you know why the servant was blind? Because he was tossed to and fro by life. Come on, church. By the pressure coming in on him. He was tossed. He saw the pressure. We're going to die. We're not going to make it. We're not going to have Christianity. Christianity is under fire. But guess what? The prophet said, oh, open his eyes that he may see. Come on, church. What happened? So when he did not get tossed to and fro by what he saw. Come on, church. See, I'm not tossed to and fro by Fox News, CNN, or what's going on in the Middle East. You know why? Because I got a promise from God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've got three prophetic words in my phone on audio and written out. And there isn't a week that I don't look at those words. Now, I've had others, but I want every promise of God because God's not a liar. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To come to pass in my life. So I don't stay a child. Oh, lift your hands toward heaven right now. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this word. It's a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light upon our path tonight. I thank you that you're releasing a level of maturity that this church has never walked in, because you're raising up ministers. You're raising up ministry out of this church. And what the enemy tried to undermine, God is raising up. Lord, we're going to eat the entire counsel of God in the name of Jesus. You can put your hands down.